Appreciate y'all tuning in for another episode of the Bliss is Ignorant podcast, man. I'm Jay Bliss. Y'all, we back with another great guest, man. I met this dude via another good comedian friend of mine, and we've not had the opportunity to work together on a show, but we have had the opportunity to chop it up on social media during the pandemic a lot of times. And you gonna know this person as soon as I start talking to him, but I like to appreciate and welcome to the podcast a very funny cat, man. He's starting to blow up on social media. He should have been way more famous way ahead of time. Give it up, my man. Alton Walker is on the podcast. What's good, man? What's good?
What's going on, man? How you feeling, brother?
Man, I can't call it, man. Listen, so I met you through Marvin Hunter.
Yeah.
Just hanging down with cats at the A. You know, me and Marvin go so far back. You know, I was hanging with Marvin when Columbia was his home club. And that's when, you know, we first met. When he made the move down to Atlanta, you know, I was like, yo, man, keep me abreast. Let me know, you know, how's it going on? He's like, dude, there's some cats down here that's straight fire. And I'm like, like who? You know, he started naming cats or whatever. So, you know, just from, you know, happenstance, I started to see who he follow. I started following people. He telling me, yo, follow this dude, follow that dude. That's how I met. That's how I met a lot of cats down there. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, when I start looking at your content, I'm like, this dude got to be from the church. Like, it's one of the first things I saw you do, you was imitating a minister. And I was like, dog, I said, this dude had to come up in the church.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And are you a preacher's kid or you just came up in the church?
Nah, man, was raised in the church. I used to be a youth pastor, man, but I quit. But
get out of here. Are you serious?
Yeah, man. I used to be a sister youth pastor, man. I quit like when I was like 25, 26. But I was raised Church of God in Christ. So
yeah.
Church is in me, man. And by the way, shout out to Marvin, because Marvin ain't gonna hang out with you unless you're funny. I tell you that.
I'll tell you like this, man. One of my favorite comedians,
by the way. Marvin.
Yeah, man, one of the most genuine dudes, and he's just a grown man. Like he don't go with a whole bunch of nonsense. But you know, unlike you know, Marvin and me are similar to the point where our minds are like. But I don't avoid confrontation.
Yeah.
So like my whole thing is I ain't gonna say nothing to that dude. I'm gonna say something. You know, I'm the dude that's gonna say something and be like, I need this person to know how I feel about them right now. Because I don't want no misconception or somebody saying, oh, I heard you said this. No. I said that to you. You heard me say that first. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
that's crazy. So the whole youth pastor thing. So I'm a preacher's kid. I don't know if you know that. But
I ain't know that for real.
Yeah, my mother was the minister in the family. Okay. So, you know, I came up in the church. And so when I hear, you know, you doing your imitation, you know, for me, it's funny because when I was coming up, my mom, when anybody ever did something like that, they was like, that's blasphemous. You ain't supposed to be doing that. Don't be making fun of the Lord. Like, I'm not making fun of the Lord. I'm making fun of the Lord's people.
The people. The
Lord's people are the most funny. They're the most judgmental and the most funny people you want to be around. Because in the church, you just find, you know, I find plenty of ways where I'm about to go to hell just based off of how people act in the church.
Yeah.
So were you at like one of the people that was in church, like, you know, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
Like I said, if you know anything about Church of God in Christ, man, we was in church almost every day, man. It was something going on in the church. And of course on Sunday, we in there all day. So especially Saturday, Friday, because my mom, Wednesday night was usually be Bible study.
Yeah.
Thursday night, my mom probably had choir rehearsal. Then Saturday, we probably got to go there, clean up the church, and do all kind of fun, all that.
Yeah.
Then Sunday, you had Sunday school at 9, church at 11. You're coming back at 4 or 5 o'clock for
evening
another
service. Yeah.
Then Monday, you got prayer meeting.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's just, it's we
was,
listen, man,
it
it's
was
a struggle,
all
man.
All day, every day. It was just, every day we was there, man.
My mom could find a way to be at church every day of the week. She really could. You know, we came up in a Baptist church, and my grandmother was a Baptist, but then my mother, when she became a minister, we was going to the holiness churches. So we was in Pentecostal churches, you know what I mean? So, you know, they always had stuff, and you know, we had the oil and laying the hands and stuff like that.
Then
And
you there
you know,
all day.
All day, man.
All
And
day, man.
And one of the stories I like to tell, man, this is funny to me because I had Nikita B on the podcast with me.
Oh, Nikita, that's my
yeah,
girl.
Man. And man, we got to talking about, you know, growing up in the churches. And the one thing that me and my twin sister knew, when she had, we was fellowship, when they was fellowshipping at the house.
Yeah.
And you had like a whole bunch of ministers over and evangelists and stuff. Look, when this big get close, and they get finished eating, and it's about close to about winding up, man, you need to get missing. Because they're going to have a word of prayer.
Yeah.
And this word of prayer ain't no different than a rap freestyle battle because everybody going to get on the mic. You know what I'm saying? Like, and some people going to start repeating verses and repeating stuff that we're like, we already prayed for that, bro. Like, why you going back on that? You know what I mean? And
a prayer battle.
And it take for, and that joint take forever. You know, when the thing, you know, when it's about to wind down, you know, when a prayer wind down, they be like, Lord, we ask you all these things.
Yep.
And then somebody saying, Lord, you got, come on, man.
Gotta keep going. They don't know about that, man. We had services like that. We had like prayer services where we was there all night. I mean, literally there all night, man. So yeah, church is my background, man. That I started off doing just straight Christian comedy. You know,
that's good because you know it helps you in a way because you monitor. You get to monitor your material better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that one of the things that I like to say to people is it's good to start out doing comedy in the South.
Yeah.
Because you're in the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
Whether you're doing clean comedy or not, you're in the Bible Belt. So your material translate across the country better because they're more judgmental down here.
Yeah.
And then, you know, with you starting out doing Christian comedy, it helps you deal with more judgmental crowds.
Yeah.
Like
you
go right into it. Yeah. You go right into it. And, you know, it's like Marcus D. Wiley.
Yeah.
One of the guys I appreciate.
My guy. That's my guy, man. One of the first comedians to take me on the road and pay me.
That's dope. And him and Akatunde and, you know, cats like that, their cadence is more church based.
Right.
Like even the way they talk is like in the whole cadence of a church. Like if I was to get on stage at a church, I wouldn't have that cadence because I don't know how to be. I don't know how to do the soapest talk.
Yeah.
And, you know, how they talk so calm and smooth to people or whatever. Right. You know what I mean? And it's just it's a talent, man. It's definitely a gift.
I mean, I tell Marcus D. Wiley all the time, man, dude, you can do clubs. And he's doing clubs now with Ali Sadiq.
With Ali, you know? Yeah. He kills
but,
it too.
You know, I'm like, your material, you don't have to change nothing, you know?
I mean, he kills it. He kills it at the club.
I came out of Christianity, the Christian comedy, because I'm sorry, it was just too easy for me.
Yeah.
You know, when you do Christian comedy in churches, you're not going to get booed.
Right.
You're not going to get heckled.
Right.
I mean, it may be silent if I've seen comedians, because I ain't going to lie, I never bombed at a church. I never had a bad set, you know?
Yeah.
So, me doing Christian comedy, I never even knew about comedy clubs. I never knew about open mics. I never knew about, you know, working on material.
Wow.
I ain't never known about none of that. We were just doing the churches. And then when I got up with Akatunde and some other Christian comedians, I ain't going to put their name out, but they was like, don't do clubs. We do this for the Lord. And I'm like,
what?
At first, I, when I didn't know no better, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to make Christian comedy like the hottest thing, you know?
Yeah.
But how you do that if you don't go into the clubs or go where people at? Because the people that's in the clubs ain't coming to a church.
Now that you know? They're not. It's weird. It's weird too that they think that way. You know, like
yeah, they was like,
I
yeah,
have
we
a,
don't,
I have
we don't
an
do
aunt.
Comedy at the clubs when I first.
I have
started.
An aunt. Yeah, I have an aunt, man. I was down in Florida, man. I said, won't you come to the club? She's like, I don't go to no clubs. I was like, it's not like a music club. It's a comedy club.
Yeah.
She's like, well, no, nah, I ain't no, you know. And I'm sitting there like, you know, I used to have this argument with my sister a lot because my sister's a minister. Like, I had a sister as a minister, her husband. Like, I had a whole bunch of ministers in my family.
Yeah.
And I mean, once I got in a debate with her, I'm like, listen, you know, Jesus hung around sinners.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why?
It's scripture. Why, like,
you think you're going to be away from people and you're going to get into heaven because you stayed away from sinners?
Dude,
like, you
got to be around these people. He went to their house. It's in the Bible that he went to their house.
Right.
He was chilling at the, they call them irreparable sinners. Like, these people, irreparable means, like, they have a bad reputation. Like,
yeah, he went to the trap. Right, he was in the trap. Like, yeah, he was in, like, the trap. Like,
it clearly says they had a bad reputation. And he went to their house and chilled with them, man.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
when I started doing Christian comedy, I was just doing, like, my first 5 years was just churches. And I ain't gonna lie, I was scared to start the comedy club, man.
Well, I could see, like, walk me through that. Like, I could see where the timidness would come from. But tell me how you even got in a club. Like, what did you do? Like, who did you talk to?
It was the first comedy club I did was in Atlanta. It was like in it was a comedy club. It was over in the Stonecrest, Lithonia area in Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was nervous, but I did it. And I'm not going to lie, when I first started doing clubs, I created, new material.
Right.
Because I didn't do none of the church jokes in the clubs because I didn't think it was going to, transfer. I didn't think it was going
right.
I didn't think they
translate
relate.
Right.
So I first did it at that club, and then I remember, I started going up to Atlanta Comedy Theater for a minute,
mm-hmm.
and for like the first year, I didn't even touch a stage. I remember I go to Cloud Nine with Tyler Chronicles, DC, Fly, all of was up in there, and Tyler be like, "You gonna do some time?" I'm like, "Nah, I'm good."
For real?
I went
Oh,
up
you
there
were
like
shook in the back. Oh,
dude. And you could ask Tyler. He would continue. He would ask me. I go to Cats all, and I would not get up. I would just watch.
Right.
And then I finally started like going up at Atlanta Comedy Theater on Thursday night with Zoo Man.
Yeah.
And I remember telling Zoo Man, I was like, "Man, Zoo Man, I'm telling you, man, I ain't did like 90-some percent of the jokes I've done in church." And he was like, "Why not? You don't think these folks go to church?"
Right.
You're like, "These folks go to church. Why will you not say this
Right.
stuff?" So I never get that night. It was a Thursday night. I did the same set I would do at a church. I did the same exact set.
Killed it.
And it ripped.
Yeah.
And I
absolutely.
said, "Oh my God, I got 2 hours of material."
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I may have
but that's
three
just
hours.
not, and see, that's not being, see, you came in different than most would, right?
Yeah.
So you came in already rocking it at the church
Yeah.
and then try to translate into the club, right?
Right.
Another situation might be somebody that only does mainstream and tries to translate into hood spots.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or
right.
urban comedy, right? And opposite, urban trying to go into mainstream, right?
Right, right.
All of these things happen. And all these things, and the worst person in your head is you.
Is you.
The worst person in your head is
you.
And I tell people that all the time, like, young cat was doing comedy at a mainstream room. And this dude said nigga about 10 times in between like three sentences.
Yeah.
And he get off stage like, "What'd you think?" I said, "Listen, man, you got to know your audience, my man."
Right.
Like, I mean, you cut half your audience off after you said nigga the third time. But you were saying it unnecessarily. Like, it ain't had nothing to do with your joke. It ain't had nothing to do. You just talking like you. He's like, "Well, they say talk like you talking to your friends. Like these people ain't your friends."
Right.
I said, if you had a dinner party and these are the people that's you standing around, that's how you talking?
Yeah.
And he looked at me, and he was like, "Well, was it funny?" I go, "I couldn't hear. I ain't hear no joke, bro." I said, "You offended the fuck out of me, and I'm black."
I said, "I'm a nigga." I'm a nigga. Yeah. I think that's come with just studying comedy, man. I think a lot of cats don't, cause I'm not hating on Monique.
No.
But when I looked at her special,
right.
I told people I understood what she was trying to do. If she would have took away some of those motherfuckers, it probably would have been a dope special.
So we didn't do a comedy. How long you been doing comedy?
16 years.
16. I'm at 18, right? You know, and I know when you cursing that much, you ain't got no material and you're not confident in your material.
And she had it.
Right.
I literally kind of broke down her set. It was a nice lead up. Like, the whole thing was, this is why I do what I do now. This is why I respond to people how I respond now. Because back then I had to do this. I had to go through this. Blah, blah. So I was going through with the steps. But, man, I literally counted 32 motherfuckers in 5 minutes. And I was going to count the whole. I just stopped counting because I just multiplied it. I said, well, if it's an hour, we probably gonna be at 300 something motherfuckers throughout this whole thing.
And you think about, like, so there was a clip that was up on TikTok last week of her on the Cat Williams tour.
Uh-huh.
And she was just telling a story about how she called him after she saw him on Club Shay Shay.
Yeah.
There was no joke. She cursed 10 times.
Yeah.
Told him that she appreciated him. And that was it. And the people were laughing. And it was like five people in the comments like, where was that a joke? And I was
but here's the thing. I can appreciate that because I think as comedians, we try to force funny so much when people just want to hear us talk sometimes.
I hear that, though.
So I could appreciate her just going up there telling her truth because people wanted to know. It's like, if I'm a Monique fan or if something just happened, like we just saw you on Club Shay Shay, we saw all this beef that you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
I have to come. Like, if I come to see you, I will hope you gotta address talk
it.
About it.
Yeah, you got to address it. I do agree with that part of it. But when, I did a post a month ago, and I was telling people, stop recording comedians at comedy shows. Like, stop recording comedians at comedy shows. I was upset that somebody even recorded that because it is without context, right? It might have came after a joke.
Right,
you know what I'm
right.
saying? But what I'm saying is I'm not seeing no jokes. When I watched her special, it was more rants than it was joke craft.
Yeah.
Like, a joke craft to me is, where's the premise?
Right. Premise.
Where's the setup?
The setup. Yeah.
Hit me in the face.
Yeah.
And let me know something ain't coming. That's when I know somebody is doing comedy. When I can't see something coming, I'm like, that shit was great.
The element of surprise, the key to comedy.
When it's hacky and I'm like, all right, I know where this about to go.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I've been doing it too long. It's too easy. That low-hanging fruit. Yeah. Like, for me to go on stage and start going on stage and I say, yeah, man, y'all see Trump sneakers?
Mm-hmm.
It's too easy.
Yeah.
If I go on stage, because that's a clip. You could do that on social media and get that joke off. Right, if I go on stage and do something crazy and I'm going through this whole story and then I say, man, I ain't even trust this dude. Then I look down, this dude had Trump sneakers on. Now, that's different because it's the element of surprise.
Right.
I wasn't talking about that, but now everybody is on the thing. I
can nobody ain't noticed that it matches hell too. Ain't nobody.
Dog.
Those sneakers.
You why?
Those sneakers matches hell.
Them Jones look raggedy as hell. And I started laughing when I saw him because he got booed in Philly. I'm like, first of all, you can't be a Philly drunk. Second of all, sneakerheads ain't Republicans, man. The sneakerheads are not Republicans, Joe.
I'm going to go get some.
Keep them in a box so you can sell them Jones 10 years from now, right?
Got them Trumps. Them Trump KKK.
That's exactly what them things look like. And I started like, come on, man. This dude got some Chuck Taylors. And they Chuck Taylors. That's the part that I got to follow with. Like, you took some Chuck Taylors and then you try to make sneakers out of them joints, man. Come on, cuz.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But listen, so the transition for you to go into the club part, then you realize that you can use the church to make it happen. Then you feel more comfortable at that point, right?
Yeah.
So your writing process, is it more, because like I said, we haven't worked together. So I haven't actually been able to sit down and dissect one of your sets and be like, oh shit. Like this dude,
I ain't got many out there. You know,
I see what you're doing. There's two different groups of people, right? There's people that, and God bless you, brother, for finding your niche. Like, cause that is funny. Lou, I don't even care what the clip is.
Uh-huh.
I just wait for you to be like, and God ain't pleased. Like that's the only part I wait for.
Yeah.
I'm laughing at that all day. And for you to find that and make it so that you don't have to burn material. You don't have to put anything up if you don't want to. That's a plus and a half, man. That is a plus and a half.
I miss that, like. And I ain't knocking comedians that put their stuff out there. That's dope because it's working. You know, especially there's a lot of comedians doing the crowd work.
That's a different element too. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, but I just miss just the like waiting to see somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
right.
I miss that. Although, you know, you got to put your stuff out there. So I'm still battling. Should I put more material out there? But like I said, I do my commentary whether it's current events or a footage, or you still get to see my point of view.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but you know,
it, the thing about it, man, the thing about what I say is this, putting material out, it kind of gives somebody a perspective of what my style is when I put a clip out.
Yeah.
And believe me, a clip that I put out is something I probably ain't doing no more. I ain't doing that joke. No,
right,
anymore.
Right.
Mm-mm. That's a joke I've been doing for years and I just put it out there. People like,
I can throw it away. Yeah.
I can throw it away. It's either on my album or it's on a special or it's gone or I'll never do it no more. So I don't mind putting that out. And then I'll put clips of crowd work out because it's not material. It's something that happened in the show. It's 2 or 3
minutes.
And it's
working. I'm about to start. Like I said, I'm going to start doing it, like especially the crowd work stuff. I'm going
to. So this.
What I wanted to do, I was going to call it, first responders.
Yeah.
Where it's going to be like if a current event happened, I'm going to go get on the stage that day. Soon it happened, be the first to talk about it. And put a joke out.
There you go. And that's what I'm thinking about. Yeah. So think about this, right? So when you look at like a Nate Jackson, right? So Nate, that's all his show is all right now because that's all people want. So he goes out there and just literally does crowd work. But he has material. You know what I mean? Matt Rife, he's doing his material. He's only taking 10 minutes to do that crowd work. So he's doing 10 minutes of crowd work. And that's the clips that he's using.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go do your shows a couple weeks in Atlanta, you can say, "Hey man, anybody got some questions?" And then start filming. And
I'm about to stack them up that weekend. 5 shows. I'm gonna stack them up, and then like I said, I'm gonna just start dropping them, man.
Start dropping them, man.
Like I said,
people
do want to see what they're gonna get now, you know. And like I said, shout out to Nate Jackson, Matt Rife. I think Matt Rife kind of. Told him, put him on game, and
yes, sir.
I mean, less than a year doing arenas, man. I mean, theaters, and
it's dope.
Oh my God,
it's dope, and I'm happy for everybody. I want to see everybody blow up. I want to see everybody that is in the grind, that's been in the grind for as long as we've been in the grind to be the next up.
Oh,
and you know, when we go to comedy clubs, I want to see the faces that I know.
Right
up there
that's been
coming the next week. Yeah, not the dudes that I've been seeing or the people that I've always seen.
Yeah.
You know, and people doing the same jokes after 20 years.
Right.
Same set from beginning to end. You know, and I'm like, man, you ain't got nothing new.
You know what I mean? You can at least rebuild. You can at least open with your closer and close something else or something.
That's too challenging, man. That's the little secrets. That's the group of people you need to hang around. That'll be like, hey, you going up tonight? Be like, yeah, I bet you won't start with your closer.
Yeah, because like, that's what I'm like in Atlanta. I was in Atlanta 2022, and I got a lot of new people coming. I got a lot of old people coming. And I got people in my DMs like, hey, man, you going to do this joke again? I'm bringing such and such, such and such. And I'm like, I want to do a whole new hour. But I know people want to hear, like, I know it's 2 jokes that they want to hear. So I'm just going to open up with them. I'm going to open with the 2 jokes that were my closer.
Yeah.
I'm going to open up with them. Just go ahead and get y'all, let y'all have it, and then we're going to go to new material.
Go on to new material. Because, you know, you set the room on fire that way.
Yeah.
You know, the next couple of things you say, they still going to be, you know, hot on it. Yeah. You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm in the midst of writing my new hour. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, you know, it's challenging. It's, you know, you working through stuff. You're like, damn. And it's so easy for us to go back to the stuff that worked.
Right.
Like, even when you getting in there and you ain't getting the pop you want to get, you be like, man, let me go on back and do an old bit. You got to fight yourself to be like, nah, man, don't go there.
Well, just go there and keep working on it. Open mics, man. I mean, I believe in open mics. That's the place to die. And I'm in Atlanta, and I see a lot of cats that, like you said, doing the same jokes they've been doing since I've been out in the club. And that's been about 5 years, so it's been about 10 years doing comedy in the comedy clubs and doing open mics. And some of the same comedians doing the same jokes, same set.
At open mics,
especially Cats Cafe. I'm like, dude. Like,
so
I'm not.
Are they putting a new one in there at all?
What's that?
Are they putting a new joke in there at all?
Man, dude, I be seeing some of the comedians doing the same material. And I'm like, bro, this is an open mic. What's the deal? And I remember telling Maurice one time, I went up there and tried a joke. And I told him I was going to bomb tonight. I was like, yeah, I'm probably going to bomb tonight. This is a challenging joke that I'm trying to figure out. And when I got off stage, he was like, yeah. I was like, yeah. He was like, no, yeah. He was like, the joke. He was like, nah, the joke was interesting. You put me on a lot of stuff. Like, it had a lot of material, had a lot of facts, a lot of stuff he didn't know about. But the night, here's a crazy thing. The night before, the joke killed.
Where were you?
Huh?
Where were you the night before?
Man, the night before, I was at a place called Our Bar, which is worse than Cats because it's a lot of young weed heads.
Okay. And that worked so there.
It killed there. You know what I'm saying? But when I went to Cats, it just didn't go to, like it went the night before.
Oh, okay.
So, but what I was telling Maurice, like, hey, man, I can't keep showcasing in your room.
Right.
And I just was honest with him. Like, I can't just keep showcasing.
Yeah.
You know, I you know, try to mix and put a little here and there. But that particular joke didn't go. And I'm like, and then I closed out with, of course, how we do. We'll close out with a banger. You know what I'm saying?
But a banger. Yeah.
I'm not, I learned that from LeVar Walker is one cat I know would die to figure out a joke. And I just can't do it no more. I can't use these open mics to keep showcasing on jokes that I know work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I think,
get a laugh.
Yeah. And I think it's important to bomb. Like, it's important to figure a joke out, you know, because even if the joke don't work, I know I got something funny afterwards to be like, that one was totally different in my head. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Like, people can laugh at it and just be like, all right, I got to find the funny in it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I wrote a joke that I quit on like 3 years. I was 4 years into my comedy. Right. And it was a joke that I was trying forever and it just wouldn't work. And I just quit on it. I just gave up.
Yeah.
And like 6 years later, I took the joke back and rewrote it.
Mm-hmm. Killing it now.
That's the name of my last album. Yeah. The joke is called Fries at the Bottom of the Bag.
And
I knew it was funny. I knew it was funny. I didn't know any better. I didn't know how to make it funny.
Sometimes it take that much time to figure it out. Sometimes it's like it's a rearrangement. Maybe it's like, oh, I mean, it's a couple of times I said a joke and I moved it into another premise of another joke and it worked better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
absolutely.
Saying? You know,
absolutely.
Sometimes it's arrangement. You just never know. Like, you could move a joke, just put it behind another joke and it worked better. It's just, you never know what makes a joke go. And it's like, that's why I don't give up on it. And that's why I believe in really, really working out, you know?
Yeah.
And we don't have sometimes we don't have a safe space, or we're scared because we weren't in what the other comedian's going to say. And I'm like, bump them, man, bro. Come on. We know you funny.
Yeah.
Like, how much more do I have to prove to comedians and my peers that I'm funny? So if you know I'm up there working out, you know I'm working out.
Yeah. But the crazy thing about it is if somebody to come out and be like, oh, man, you bomb. I'm like, okay. And then they'd be like, Alton Bond, like, where you book that next week? Because like, at the end of the day, if I'm not bombing, I'm not getting better.
Right.
You know what I mean?
If I'm not bombing at an open mic. Now, if I bomb in front of 3,000 people and it's a paid gig, that's a different story. Then you go, oh, man, Alton bomb.
Right.
But if I'm at a place where we call a open mic, even though it's people in here and it's packed, this is an open mic night. You said this is an open mic. So why am I coming up here and showcasing and trying to prove myself every week? And then you saying the same jokes. Like, we heard that joke. Like, you ain't working on nothing.
Yeah. And they used to do this room in Charlotte, and they had a new material Mondays. And you had to do new material.
I love that.
Yeah, you had to do material. Like, you up there, you had to do new material. And I was like, yeah, man, that's dope. Because you had people coming at it with their notebooks out. They was trying stuff. See, you know what I mean?
We don't even do that. And I was trying to create a group or an environment of that. I know when you go to New York, it's sometimes like that. Them cats got their notebooks out. They going over
workshop material and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
You know, even at open mics, they tag. And it's like, we don't really have that environment here in Atlanta. And
you have to find the right group, though, because everybody can't do that, Alton. Like, everybody doesn't have the ability to workshop a joke. Some people ain't talented enough. They only know what they know. Like, so if I see your set and I be like, hey, man, you left something on the bone on that other one, and you be like, what? And I'm like, dude, if you say it this way and then go back and grab this and put it in here. Yeah. This, like some people had that. Rodney Perry is great at that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rodney Perry is the bomb at that, right? But I would tell you like this. Do you talk to somebody on a regular basis that you read your ideas to and be like, yo, this is what I was thinking about, was talking about. This is what I was thinking about doing. Is somebody you talk
really.
To?
I used to have a gym every Monday and they begging to bring it back, but we used to have a real comedy gym.
Yeah.
Like that joke was dope, man. When I tell you it was a workout room where we yeah. like, we just man, we got yeah. pen paper going over and it was dope. And you know, that was a safe space for us to come and work out new material and really, but nah, not really. Like, I don't really have, oh, I mean, it's one person, Rita mm-hmm. Brent.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, me and Rita Brent will go back. She just texted me yesterday about an idea for a joke, you know, that mm-hmm. she was working on.
Yeah.
So me and her will go back and forth.
Right.
She'll text me or I text her, like, I, you know, I'm on air every day or, I, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If I got a bit that I'm like, hey, I need help on this. Blah, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. Give me something. So that's the only person, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I yeah, hardly have anybody that, you know, help you write.
Yeah, and I think that's helpful, man. Like, because, you know, I tell people all the time, you know how hard it is to come up with an hour? You know how hard it is to come up with a joke that you like?
Yeah.
Not a joke, a joke that you like.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know what I mean? And it's like when you come out with a gem and it worked, man, that's like the best feeling in the world.
Right.
You'd be
right.
like, man, I can't wait to tell this joke again. You yeah. be rushing through your material to get to this new bit. This, you know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right, right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's, you know, the struggle of what we do that some people don't understand is the fact that there's no ending for what we do. Yeah. There's no retirement in comedy.
Yeah.
You're always looking for the next joke. You're always looking for the next bit. You're always looking for the next series that's going to make a crowd be like cheer you beyond the recognition that you feel like you deserve. Like,
well,
you
not
know,
everybody. This is just...
We already know that.
Some,
you know, it's,
some comedians, they're cool with that same
stuff, man. I can't. I get tired of jokes after a while. Like, I get tired of telling it, even though I know it's going to get a good response. I'm just looking for that next high. Like, you ever feel like, you know, that first time you got on stage and you yeah. know, like, you go back and look at it now, man, those jokes was trash, right?
Yeah,
but it couldn't stop you from the feeling you got from the acceptance that the crowd understood where you were coming from
right.
the joke worked. And it's like, you know, some people, if you hold on to that joke that you always know works,
mm-hmm.
you're not growing.
Right.
It's almost fake. Like, it's like fake admiration. You know what I mean?
Especially for open mics. That's all I'm saying.
You cheating. You
That's
cheating.
That's all I'm saying. Like, if you got a paid show, bring it.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I don't care if this joke is 5 years old. Like, of course, like I said, if that thing ain't been on TV or on a place where everybody saw it, man, bring your best. If that joke that is a joke that you told 10 years ago and you know it worked and people are paying you, this crowd may not have saw you. But when right. it's open mic, that's the part that bothered me.
Yeah.
Like you're and then it's like you're saying the joke the same exact way. It ain't like you're trying to add to it. Like if I heard you do this joke last week and you brought it back this week and you had some changes or rearrangement, then I could say, oh, okay, he's trying to figure it out. But you told a joke the same exact way.
Right.
At an open mic.
Yeah.
And it's open bothering mic. Me. It makes
open,
me.
Open. Yeah. I'm open mic
I get
is.
Mad. My bad.
No,
mic.
Man. That's you absolutely right, man. Open mic is meant for the deconstruction and crafting of a joke.
Right.
It's not meant for you to kill the room. It's exactly. not. Open mic has never been meant to kill the room. And it's like when I saw the bit that Corey Holcomb was talking about Dave Chappelle coming up on stage for 2 hours and bombing because he up there open micing.
Right.
He up there open micing. He up in there throwing stuff against the wall, seeing what's going to hit and seeing what's going to miss, and that's what he ended up putting on his special.
Yeah. I seen the Dave Chappelle video on YouTube now. It's like 3 hours long. I don't know if it's the same one at the comedy. I think it was at the comedy something.
Yeah, he just up there.
He was just sitting there talking, you know.
Yeah.
I seen the Richard Pryor. Everybody don't know about that Richard Pryor was smoke. What's it called, man? Richard Pryor is dying.
Yeah, on stage.
He's in this small club, and I think that's when he was trying to transition over to being more vulnerable and being more open, you know, because he was doing the Bill Cosby stuff.
Right.
And Oh, I can't think of what's the name of that. You know what I'm talking about, right? Have you seen it?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Small club. It's kind of like something like something up in smoke or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, there was a clip they had on Sirius XM radio, and he was out there talking about everything.
Dude.
This dude was out there talking about his homosexual experiences, and I'm like, the crowd wasn't responding at all. And I was like,
this particular one, it's on YouTube. He was talking about sucking.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They played that on Sirius.
They did.
Yeah. Nobody was laughing.
Man, that dude, when I tell you, I was trying to let I think it was Desi.
Yeah.
I was telling Desi about the Desi, like, I couldn't make it through. It was like, I couldn't make it through. No, it was either Desi or Drewski. It was
Live and smoking.
That's what it's
live
called.
And smoking. That's it. Yeah, that's it right there. Yeah.
I think it's called Live and Smoking, man. And like I said, I told one of them cats, I think it was just, he was like, I couldn't even make it through the whole thing, man.
Yeah.
It's so uncomfortable. But you can see, like, I think every comedian should watch it. I really do.
At 100%. Because
you can see at the end, they show his notes. And every bit that he wrote, he had it written down, and he went through them, and he stayed in it.
Yeah.
Come out of it.
Right.
Died. He's like, I'm going to get it out, and I'm going to sit in this awkwardness. I'm going to sit in this. I'm not going to let the crowd move me. I'm going to sit in it. And I think until you get to that place of a comedian, you're not going to be great, because you're going to always – that crowd is always going to move you to your next joke.
Absolutely.
And I'm at a place now where I don't – the crowd don't move me no more. I don't allow them because like I said, you've been on stage where the night before that joke killed.
Yeah.
Then tonight it didn't kill. You may have got a cringe, you may have got a silence, and I'm okay. Like, I'm becoming okay with whatever response the crowd give me instead of them moving me.
I'm very comfortable with silence. I might laugh at the silence.
Yeah.
If it's a punchline and they don't laugh, I'd be like, I just start busting out laughing. Like, that was funny to me.
Because it's a response. Like,
yeah, it is a response.
What I'm saying
is
it's a response to notice instead of, I've seen like a comedian not get the laugh that he want, and it messes the rest of his setup.
Yeah. Because they start stuttering and stammering.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, like, get out of it. You know what I mean? That's funny that you say that, because, you know, it takes a mature person to be able to be comfortable with the silence, because some people just blab. Like, they just keep going because they be afraid that somebody going to say something about the joke that they just said. I did my recording for my album, my birthday special in July. And the next night I had a show in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
So I get a standing ovation at my album recording.
Right.
I got Ryan Davis opening it up. I got Marvin featuring. I close it out. I get a standing ovation. I go to Philly, eat a dick. Like, they ain't laughing at nothing. I'm telling the same jokes, bro. They ain't laughing at nothing. I told them people 10 minutes before I got on stage. I said, listen, I ain't about to cut back flips for y'all. I said, I told these same jokes last night. I got a standing ovation.
Yeah.
I was like, so it ain't me. I said, it definitely ain't me.
Yeah.
I said, but on to the next one. Right? I'm going to the next one. Like,
you keep going. Sometimes, like, you know, it just depends on the crowd. Sometimes that crowd, they don't be hyped. Sometimes you got to sit down and just talk to them.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I used to tell my gym, is like, depends on the crowd. Sometimes it's just our delivery. You know, we may be too big for the audience, you know, because the night before that, everything you said was here.
Mm.
So you come to the next audience and they more like, I'm chilling. I don't want to get up. I just tell your jokes. And sometimes you can say that same material, but bring it down, sit down, and have a conversation. And
dog, when you said too big for the room, it took me back to when I had A-Train on. And A-Train said he started out doing arenas. Like, he started out doing arenas. Then he came to the club, right? So I'm laughing because I'm like, wait, I was like, time out. He's like, dude, I started at the arena. I said, how you start at the arena?
Started
the arena and then came to clubs, and people in the club like, hey man, you need to bring it down some, man. You too hype.
Because
you know, clubs are intimate. Clubs are intimate.
You know, Trey Williamson.
Yeah.
That's my dog. I love Trey Williamson, man. But Trey Williamson would never change his set. Hey, I applaud him though. Trey kills. I see him kill, and you know he'll come on. Thank you, Apollo. Like he has his energy is big.
It's big.
Sometimes it won't translate in a smaller audience. But I like the fact that he's going to bring his show anyway. And that's what I love about Trey. Because sometimes I'm like, Trey, you know, if you just bring your energy down and say the same joke, you're going to hit because your material is funny.
Right.
But Trey's like, uh-uh.
Nah, because you know the funny thing about it. He's high energy, right? So it's crazy to me, right? So high energy, hyperactivity or whatever, that might be their blanket. That might be their blanket. Like that might be they have to be that way in order for them to feel comfortable.
Right, right.
Me, I can't do high energy. I gotta stay still.
Yeah.
And I got to be able to look at the audience. Now my eye contact will get everybody involved in my show. Because I don't stand and look at one spot. I'm looking. I'm engaging people.
Yeah.
Pointing people out. You know what I mean? Let me tell you something I saw that was dope one time. Roddy Perry did this. And I might have seen two other comedians do this. Mm. He came out on stage and he gave nicknames to about eight people in the front rows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Rodney did do that.
Gave them nicknames.
He'll be like, hey, right? Glasses.
Yeah, hey, glasses. Yeah. Fur coat. He like, but throughout his set, he called on him.
Yeah.
He like, hey, let me tell you what happened. Hey, glasses, let me tell you what happened to me. Yeah. And it's, I'm like, dude, that's genius.
You make it relatable. You make a
it's
conversation.
It's engaging,
the
man.
Crowd.
These people are not going to not pay attention because now he didn't engage eight people in the front.
Yeah.
And now, the people in the audience is like, he might call on me. Let me make sure I'm paying attention.
Right.
And I was like, dude, that's freaking genius.
It's beautiful.
That's the little stuff that somebody that from the outside looking in, because when somebody from the outside looking in be like, man, I'm going to try comedy. They go up there and just start talking. I'm like, you think that's what we do?
Right.
They be like, yeah. I'm like, damn, we must really do a good job if that's what you think we do.
They
you
know think we doing that. They don't know that we... Like, it seemed like improv is just, we got so many jokes now that anything that happened in the room, we probably got material for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it feel like that just happened. And I remember one of the new social media comedians, I used to work with him. And I remember something happened in the audience. He'd have a joke for it, but he'll say, you know what? I got a joke for that. Wait, time. We're going to get to it. And I used to tell him, no, do it now.
Go to it now.
Do it now. I know that's your closer. Don't worry about it. Do it now because it's believe me, it's gonna work out. Don't worry about
it's gonna,
it.
It's gonna work out, bro. Yeah,
you're gonna
work.
And shout out to Trey because I don't want nobody to think I'm shading Trey. My thing, Trey Williams.
No,
thing about him, I respect it because remember I say he don't let a crowd move him.
No,
Pat Joker is going to do his set no matter if there's one person in there.
So it's almost along the lines of we all know comedy. Like you are you on stage. Yourself, right? Online, you a character, right? Mm-hmm. But when you do your jokes, you. We know comedians that are in character, too. So Trey kind of is in character because that's not who he is off stage.
Right, right.
So you got to let him be
his character.
He got to be his Larry the Cable Guy when he on stage. So that's what it is. That's how
I
you look
love
at it.
Man.
You
know what I'm saying? So
how did you end up working with Desi? Like, so did you know Desi before he blew up, or was that like social media connection?
The only time I can pinpoint meeting Desi, it was Desi, B. Simone, and Darren were doing a tour.
Darren
and
Brand.
They did Atlanta Comedy Theater.
Yeah.
And I pulled up on
them. You talk about Darren Brand?
Darren Brand, yeah.
Yeah.
And they were doing a tour, and it was actually branded under B. Simone, You're My Boyfriend tour.
Yeah.
And I remember going, and I was just, you know, I went to the back of just chopping it up with them, talking about the business, you know, like what percentage, because, you know, it was a lot of stuff they didn't know about.
Right.
And then I don't know how it happened. He needed help with writing.
Got you.
And he tells me somebody wanted to manage him, but was going to charge him the right.
Wow.
Like, yeah, we're going to get my team, you know, and you know, we're going to blah, 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 blah. We're going to charge you this. And he came out like, man, we don't do that. I said, man, we as comedians, man, we don't do that, bro.
Right.
I said, come to the house. Look, I look over your stuff, blah, 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 blah. He came to the house. He showed me his clip. I didn't even write nothing. I just rearranged his set.
Right.
He went off and did it, came back excited.
Yeah.
He was like, oh my, it worked.
Yeah.
He's like, yo, it worked. But then I think at the time they was about to split their tour up and he was a little bit bothered.
Yeah.
Because it was B. Simone, Darren, and Desi.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of money to split. You know what I'm
saying?
Yes,
sir.
Especially on,
yes, sir.
Especially if it's a B. Simone tour.
Yeah.
So B. Simone decided to go on tour on her own.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it makes sense.
Because
what she'll probably do is get a veteran comedian. I told her to do that though. Like she probably don't get a veteran comedian or somebody that's have experience to open up for or whatever to make it a go. Oh, she gonna host.
Yeah.
And she gonna probably pay them $500 for the night, you know, pay for their traveling. And I even told him, I said, on a Wednesday night, shoot. I go pick up, they was doing one nighters on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Tuesday. I like, I go pick up $500 and if you pay, take care of travel.
Yeah. And a room. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
on a Tuesday, Wednesday night, I'll probably be doing open mic for free.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I told him that. And then I was like, dude, you can do this on your own. You don't have to wait and link up with another comedian to pack out a room. You can do this.
Right.
And I think he was a little bit of nervous doing it.
Right.
Then he did Atlanta. He did Atlanta for the first time. It sold out two shows.
It's a wrap.
It's sold a wrap. Check.
Yeah. That's all you need to see, bro.
He was like, okay.
Yeah.
I see what you talk about.
Yeah, man.
Selling out ever since.
Yeah, and that's dope, man. It's like so when I was trying to tell, like, I try to tell like the social media comedians, look, man, you the star. Yeah. So if you the star, you don't have to close the show out. You a host. Yeah. You can host.
Yeah.
Say, hey, it's me and some friends.
Yeah.
And let the comedians do what they do. And by you being there, you're going to learn the craft.
Yeah.
You're going to learn the craft. You're going to talk. You're going to chop it up. They're going to give you pointers. They're going to tell you how to create yourself and have your stage presence and hold a microphone and all that good stuff. They're going to tell you all those things. And some people don't get it because they like, nah, I'm the star. I got to be on stage the longest. No, you don't. No, you don't. You can get that bag and all you got to do is take pictures and be on stage for a few minutes.
Yeah, because I was with him for 4 years and you got to imagine, man, that cat had to come after me every night because it was just a two-man show. I would host. I go up and then I bring him out.
Yeah, and you that's
know,
tough.
And you know, and I, you know, I sit in the back, help him write. I mean, I was on. He used to hate me.
Yeah,
because I was on his ass. Like, I was like, nope.
You might as well haze him. Like, you might as well haze him instead of the crowd.
Every night he got notes from me. Every night, like stuff like I just said. Hey man, you did that. Like that happened. Like a cougar. You got a cougar joke. Go ahead and do that joke now. Don't wait. And bro, like I used to be on him. He used to be nice.
Listen. Like, You might as well haze him because either he gonna get hazed by you or that crowd gonna get hazed.
Man,
you know what I mean, and that's the whole thing. Like when I saw the clip from T.I. and now so with T.I. he had some people booing him or whatever.
Yeah,
he was
New York.
In New York.
He went to New York,
and I'm like, listen, that all happened to us. Like T.I. like, oh, yo, that shouldn't happen to T.I. T.I. a rapper.
Right.
If he went out there and started doing his songs, ain't nobody booing. But this is what we do. This is comedy. Yeah. You're going to get booed, bro. It's going to happen. You might as well just go ahead and
you
say
you just don't want to get booed in front of 10,000.
That's all you. Listen, bro. Proper planning.
That never happened to me.
Listen, proper planning prevents poor performance, baby. Listen, the job is an open mic and everything else. Do your preparation so that don't happen to you. You know what I'm saying? You out there telling toilet jokes. People that know comedy, like
I never got booed in front of the arena, boy. But and I pray it never happened.
That's dirty work, right?
I really think they were preparing to boo for him. They wanted to boo him, man.
They wanted to be the ones with that on a championship belt. I mean, you know, but you know, I tell people all the time, man, like. Comedy ain't easy. People think that it's the thing to do. Like, you would have a better chance of going viral on social media than you do standing on stage telling a joke.
And one thing I will give credit to with T.I., like, people didn't know, man, he was in the trenches with us, man.
No, I saw no.
This dude Listen. Was in the Blue Lagoons, like Blue Lagoon. I remember I was with him one night. We was in Blue Lagoons, and it was probably about 5 to 10 people in there.
Yep.
And he Cats went Cafe up there and yo, worked yeah. out. Like he wouldn't. Yeah. He no. wouldn't like. I can't even deny like the work he put in that first year trying to do comedy. He was Listen. Really out
for him. For him to be as close as he is to K-Dub, you know K-Dub gave him the rundown. Like, like K-Dub had to tell him, ain't no shortcuts in this damn. Right. Like, that's like K-Dub saying, I'm coming out an album next week. Like, dog, it ain't going to work. Like, you got to
hit it. And that's why I created the gym. Because I'm like, with comedy, man, we got to treat it like a sport.
Yeah.
You have to shoot. You have to shoot this way, shoot that way. You got to shoot, you know, when – You know how the players, you know how you be clutch, you know?
Yeah.
What you going to do in the fourth quarter? What you do when you got to come from behind? Like, those are the same concept I feel like is needed in comedy. What you do when that first joke don't hit like you thought it would.
Right, right.
You know, what you do when, you know, somebody's heckling you or a fight break out or a drunk woman, you know?
Right.
So that's what all those rooms do. When you go into the rooms when the TVs are still on.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Or they playing poker behind you. Or they don't even know it's comedy, and you got to walk up and say, hey, y'all ready for comedy? I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I was just having a dope conversation. You want me to stop talking? Like, I brought my like,
oh, you my God.
You got to do comedy in the middle of a dance floor with strobe lights.
Dog. We all been there. We all been there, man. Or the drug dealers come in.
Right.
And you be like, oh, my God. This is about to get violent. Hey, don't you say nothing about me, player. Like, dude,
man.
You got it, man. Don't even worry about the player.
You gotta hit the room because it's just it builds character and it lets you be prepared for any situation. Now, I do feel once you get to a certain space,
you ain't gotta do it no more.
Place in your comedy career, like I don't think you need to do those no more because now, like with me, I don't really care to do those rooms because I'm really focused on material and I need an audience that comes to listen because
Absolutely.
I don't want to go in there and I have to. Address hecklers and that be my whole set and I either threw me off for the night. So
listen, you know how many times I tell people no?
Yeah.
Like as soon as they tell me where it's at, I'd be like, nah, I ain't doing that. And they'd be like, well, this is what we got for you. I'm like, dude, that ain't enough. And I tell people all the time, like they'll be like, man, we'll give you 400 for Tuesday. I go, mm-mm. And they go, it's just it's 1,000.
Yeah.
Why? Because I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be. You know what I'm saying?
And I do it. But even in Atlanta, you know, a lot of comedians be trying to book me.
Yeah.
In Atlanta, I said, yeah, you can book me, but you can't. I'm not promoting that I'm going to be there. You know? And I really don't want you to promote that I'm going to be there.
That,
you know?
That part right there, dog.
I'm sorry. Like, I that, just yeah. don't. Yeah. I don't. And people wonder why I do that because last time I did Atlanta, well, I did with Ricky Smiley, but I didn't have to promote Ricky. I think I posted the day before.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But the last time I did a show in Atlanta was 2022.
Okay.
And people like, and I was going to do it last year, but I waited because you don't want to, like, you oversaturate yourself. Now, if everybody can see you all the time in your city, then when it's time for you to do a weekend, you're not going to sell no ticket.
Nah.
But I just saw you last week.
I see you at that open mic, so you know, yeah. And that's why when you're at the open mics, you need to do different material.
Yeah, so I do open mics, so I do like shows here in Atlanta, but I never promote.
Right.
I'm just popping up and I'm just like, yeah, you can pay me this, but I'm letting you know now for this type of money, I'm working out new stuff.
Right.
It's gonna be funny, but I am gonna be working out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I don't really do shows unless it's like a Ricky Smiley or stuff like that. I'm not about to promote your room and you paying me $200.
Right.
When
I
know what I could do on my own in Atlanta.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'd rather do one show a year and get that bulk of money than do all these little small shows and you stretching your name out and nobody want to come see you now because I seen you already.
Have you seen your numbers grow since the God Ain't Pleased stuff?
Man.
So you,
My Facebook finally opened back up I want from like the mid March of last year to like December. I want to say, I'm going to say about all it was, I can't think of the period of time, but I was getting like on Facebook 1,000, 2,000 followers a week.
That's dope.
And then for some reason during December, January, I'm gonna say November, December, and January, man, I was stuck at 231,000.
Yeah.
I was just stuck. It was
just stuck, right?
And
right.
finally, it, like the floodgates opened. Like now I'm back to getting, like, I think it showed like the last 20 days I got like 6,000 followers.
So let me ask you, how did they even come about, bro? Like, was it one video you did it? It was like, oh, I'm gonna have to keep doing this. Or like, can you even remember?
No, I was doing this thing called Sunday service.
Yes, I remember that part. Yeah,
and I would be
that
on
one.
Facebook when yeah. I be preaching. Yeah, and I'm like, yeah. God ain't playing.
Right.
And so I don't know if somebody said they want a shirt or somebody pointed it out, because people to tell you was sticking.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just start saying, and God ain't, so the video was just, and God ain't pleased.
Yeah.
And then one time I just was stuttering.
Yeah.
I just accidentally like, and as you can see in the comments, somebody put and so I was like, people to tell you what works. And so I started putting the hands in it, you know, but it was stuff that I was already doing naturally.
Right.
And people that I didn't know I was doing.
Right.
But that was funny.
Right. Right. You know, the comment section will, for those that are sensitive, it will cause you to react in a way you shouldn't.
Right.
But the people that rock with you will let you know what your base is, and they'll argue for you where you don't even have to argue with somebody that says something stupid.
Yeah. Like the new thing is the 777-9311.
Yes. And you got to be old to know that, though.
But it's like getting my people, so people know that now. So I'm like, oh, maybe I need to create a shirt like that.
Shirt for that one, yeah, yeah.
So it's just little, like, your natural stuff. That's why I'm learning with social media. Be who you are. Be your natural self. And if people going to show you things you didn't notice about yourself that you can continue to do. So that's, I went back and tried, because somebody asked me. So I tried to go back and find the first video. I said, and.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I tried to find, I forgot which one it was.
Yeah, but fine. Like, dude, when I'm going to tell you, right, I think I was talking to Marvin about it about a month ago. We was on the phone chopping about something. I said, boy, your boy Allison got me wilding with this thing. God, please. He said, man, that shit funny as hell.
Shula got me doing it where it's easy. Shula, because I used to be, and me and Marvin, I used to tell Marvin about it, because Marvin is hilarious and funny. Yes. I was like, Marvin, you put about more videos if you didn't take so long to edit. But, you know, Marvin be wanting to, he be wanting
he
to cut
it, right.
it, make it.
Shula said,
Alton, bruh, just play the video, talk. You're going to say something funny and post it. Don't think about it twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I look at a video, and whatever come I see, man, that junk, I go upstairs. It may take me 1 minute, 2 minutes to make the video, post it.
Yeah.
Because you already know how it is. You put all this effort and editing in the video, and one, that video don't go. So now you're disappointed.
Yeah.
And then because you don't want to really do it again. And then,
because we joke tellers, we methodical. Like, even when I post something, I think so much about what I'm saying, man. And you're right. Desi say he do one take. He just be
one
like,
take.
I'm mistaken.
Coach Wayne, they do one take.
One take. There you go. Shula. It was a mistake.
Shula got so gangster, and he told me he was going to do this.
Yeah.
He was asking me about the green screen and everything. He's like, Alton, I ain't even going to say nothing no more. He's gonna look. He told me he was gonna do it, and when I seen him do it in that video, I think one of the videos got a million views.
Yeah,
because I mean, at the end of the day, you got two things. You got one, the people laughing at the video itself,
right?
So with him, it's like they laughing at the video, and he just looked,
right?
You know, and I'm like, man. So I see other people trying to do it, but me personally, it's like the reason why I put a commentary, because I want people to get used to my point of view.
Yeah,
so come see me. Now he already got people coming to see him.
Already got his base. He got his base. So I mean, that's ultimately what we all want. We just want our base. You know what I mean? And much success to you, brother. Like, you know, like I said, we met through Marvin and through social media, and we chopped it up on social media so many times on Instagram Live. You know what I mean?
Like, when that pandemic was going on, we had
out there smoking up cigars, dude. I stayed on my porch, bro. I was like 1 foot out the door. That's what I felt like, man. But listen, man, I know eventually we will be able to hit the stage together, man. And I will actually be able to see a set a full set and see, you know, what you do and how you do what you do, man. But, you know, much success to you, man. I appreciate you coming on and spending time with me, man, on the podcast, man. And let people know how they can find you on social media and follow you.
Yeah, man. Everywhere, Alton Walker Show. You know, I got some Alton Walker Show, Altonwalker Show. I got shows coming up in Atlanta. You know, I got 5 shows at Atlanta Comedy Theater. So if you're listening, get your tickets, come pull up on me. I have more dates. I think my next date I got is Birmingham. I'm doing Start On, but we just had some dates. I had some dates in March, but some of the clubs trying to give me a Tuesday and Wednesday night, and I'm just like, nah.
Stardome is dope, man. Love that club, man. I love doing that club.
This is my
bro.
First time doing a weekend. I told him, just give me the small room. I was like, give me the small room.
No, take the big one, bro.
No, because Bruce is, you know, I know Bruce. Yeah. Bruce, like I said, he was gonna give me the big room on the weekend. He was gonna give you know, some of these clubs you gotta prove yourself, that's a whole nother conversation. It's like,
listen, you ain't gotta tell me. You know, lazy. I do. Yeah, you know, I do Funny Bones and Improvs and stuff like that, you know, but you know,
and
they
Funny
only
Bones,
bring
a shout out to Dave, because Dave gave me
Dave Stroop, baby.
Yeah, he gave me like 16 dates last year, one night or so.
Oh, that's dope.
I ain't even hate. He gave me Virginia Beach on the weekend. Well, matter of fact, I did 2 shows in Virginia Beach, and I think we sold about 400-500 tickets. So it was a great night. So that's why, like, this year I'm trying to do more weekends.
Uh-huh.
And some of these clubs have smaller rooms.
Yeah.
So the idea is just go on a night where it's maybe a white comedian that we have two different audiences. So my audience ain't going to affect your ticket sales. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm doing a small room, and then I'm trying to get some more dates on the calendar, man.
Hey, man, listen, keep grinding, man. Keep doing your thing, because, you know, we have the ability to make ourselves famous without help from someone else. Because before, you know, you had to get in.
Yeah.
And then you had to rub some elbows with certain people. But man, you can build your own base, bro.
You can. Like,
I'm glad you found your niche. I'm glad you found some way to get people to come to your page. You know what I mean? And then for people to be like, oh, well, he ain't no comedian because he got famous on social media. And I'd be like, no. Like go to the show and watch what happened. Yeah, go to the show and watch what happened. Ryan Davis is a perfect example. I told people that from the beginning. They was like, man, he famous also. I said, go to a show and watch what I do work. You know what I mean? I tell people all the time, that's a comedian right there.
Right.
So same for you, man. So, yo, big shout out to you, man. Appreciate you coming on the podcast. And Soup, I'm going to have you back on.
Yeah, we got to do me, you, Marvin. We got to do it. We got to do a show. We got to do a podcast together.
Yeah, dude. Now listen, if that would be,
you gotta set it up. We gotta bring both of us on.
Matter of fact, man, listen, that's gonna happen within the next 3-4 months, man. Because I'm gonna make sure I set that up, man. And Soup, I might have to do it.
You know, that's gonna be more than an hour right now. That's
listen, Marvin alone with his vocabulary. Marvin vocabulary alone can be a podcast.
That's my guy, man.
Yes, no doubt, man. Yo, appreciate you coming on the podcast, man. And I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir.
All right, peace.